It's good to see you guys here today on a, what's happening today? There's something going on.
Super Bowl.
Oh, really? The Super Bowl. Okay. That's not what I thought it was, but anyway. I don't watch football, as you can tell, so I had no idea. I had to ask Pastor Frank, is today Super Bowl Sunday? He said, yeah. I said, oh, okay. Well, I'll try to get y'all out of here on time then, okay? Because I know you're ready to go tailgate party or whatever you're going to do. Cook me some good stuff. I mean, cook some good stuff. And anyways, well, you know what? As I was sitting there and enjoying the worship and just loving on Jesus, I tell you, it just thrills my heart when I look around. I don't get to be over here a whole lot, but when I'm over here, I mean, today, man, I just got to see, man, God is doing something in our church. I am so thankful for that. Isn't it great to be a part of a church that's growing and alive and God is moving and doing some things? You know, and whether it's in the food ministry or the missions or whatever, you know, Summit Youth, High Octane Kids, CR, I mean, God is moving in every area of our church. And I have to admit, this is an exciting time for me to be alive and just to be a part of what God's doing here. And I hope you feel that same excitement. You know, and as we're building discipleship culture around here, people are getting together. As Zach said, you know, he sees them online. They're gathering around God's word. They're praying together. They're talking about the love of God. And so in talking about the life of a disciple today, I kind of wanted to do a message on love. And so it ended up being a message on love about disciples and about God's love. So let me ask you some big questions here to start out. If I were to ask you today, and this is just for you personally, don't look at the person next to you and wonder what their answer is. Let's just take a few moments and self-examine here for a few moments. But if I were to ask you, who are you becoming? Are you growing? Are you changing? Are you maturing? If I were to ask you, are you becoming freer and healthier? What would your answer be? Are you living as a disciple? A student, a follower, one that becomes like the one they're following, which is Jesus Christ. I think that every once in a while it's important for us to just take a few moments and stop and examine our lives. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, it tells us, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. What he's saying here is that every once in a while, we just need to stop and take a look at our own life. We need to examine ourselves and to see if your life really aligns with the things that you say you believe. So how's your faith doing? Is it growing? Is it thriving? Or is it retreating and withdrawing? Can I tell you something? This is, to me, is one of the most important moments in our spiritual journey. Because the decisions that we make this year, they're going to affect our lives for the next 5, 10, 20 years. Amen? And so today, we're just going to kind of examine ourselves and ask ourselves, how are we doing? Who are we becoming? Am I actually living as a disciple? Which here, if we're going to live like a disciple, we need to find out what a disciple is. And if you look in 1 John chapter 2, you can see what it says. It says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Wow. So in other words, whoever claims that they believe in Jesus, their life should start looking more and more like Jesus' life. Amen? But the question is how do we know? How do we know that? How do we know that we're growing and maturing and becoming freer and healthier? Like, what is the measure of a disciple? Well, Jesus tells us that in John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and 34 and 35, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are, and say it with me, my disciples, if you love one another. Okay. So he's saying there that love is the measure of a disciple. And so if disciples are defined by love, we got to understand that if that's the case, then we're not, a disciple is not defined by the knowledge that they have or the information or the church activity. They're not even defined as a disciple just because they go to church, they attend church, or if they have good morals or they're a good person. It says real plain and simple that love is the measure of a disciple. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background on this John chapter 13 that we're talking about here, okay? In John chapter 13, if we're in that moment of time in our Bible, that means that for the last 3 years, the disciples have been following Jesus and they've been walking with him, and he's been demonstrating love to them each and every day for the last 3 years. And Jesus has been showing the disciples what love sounds like, what love looks like, how love acts, how love serves, how love sacrifices, how love behaves, and it goes on and on. But here in John 13, after 3 years of seeing and experiencing the love, it says that Jesus showed them the full extent of his love. Man, that's powerful. So we have to realize in this time that we're in the upper room. It's at the end of Jesus' life. He's about to go to the cross, and they're in this upper room, and this is what's going on. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, and they're taking the Passover together. And he tells them that he's going to go to the cross and that his life is about to come to an end. And he's wanting them to understand his great love, the extent of his love for them. And I want you to catch this really quick. So in John chapter 13, 34 and 35, that's Jesus. And he's talking and he's telling them all these things. But if you just go to verse 36, the very next verse, you see that Peter interrupts Jesus. And he says, Peter asks him, he says, Lord, where are you going? And whenever I read that this week, it kind of just hit me in the face like a 2x4. Because when you read it in context like this, Jesus is talking all about the love that he has. And Peter basically just interrupts him. And he's like, yeah, Jesus, we know about this love thing. You've been showing us for the last 3 years what love looks like, how love acts, and all of those things. Jesus, we know we got the love thing down. But Jesus, this is what we want. We want you to tell us something new. Tell us something we don't know. Give us some meat, Jesus. And we're ready for the good stuff is basically what he's saying. And you know what? If we'll admit it, we're a little bit like that. We think we have the love thing down, don't we? That's a lot of like our view of God. We're like, yeah, we got the love thing. That's elementary. That's basic. God loves me. I get it. Give me something new, though, God. I want you to tell me something new. Give me some knowledge. Give me some meat. You know, you hear that a lot of times. I just need to be fed. I want more. And we're not realizing all along that love is the heartbeat of the kingdom of God. I mean, let's look at what 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 2 says. It tells us in there, it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Those who think they know something does not yet know as he ought to know. Wow, that's pretty big. You see, if you think about it, knowledge puffs you up. Knowledge can make you proud and it can make you arrogant, but love builds. Love creates a foundation inside of our hearts that makes sure that everything that God puts in there is fastened together and gives you a great foundation. Love allows you to build and go from glory to glory, from victory to victory, from strength to strength. And if we're honest, there's a whole lot of bloated Christians out there in the Christian world. You look around the churches of America, there's some bloated Christians. And that's because they have all kinds of knowledge, but they don't have any love. And they think that everything they know, they think they know everything about love. But the moment that you think you know everything about love, that's when God looks at you and says, you don't even have a clue. What he's saying is that a whole lot of us know God loves me up here. But not everyone has found out that God loves us in here. Amen? And I want to say to you that, you know, when you think you know everything about God, when you think, I know everything about love, you're literally saying, I know the whole essence of God. We have to be careful when we say things like that because we can get really arrogant and really prideful. And so if we think about this, that the measure of a disciple or love is the measure of a disciple. In fact, in Galatians 5, it tells us, he says, so I walk by the Spirit. But then later on, he tells us that one of the first fruits of the Spirit is love. And so if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I'm going to be walking in the Spirit, then love should start showing up in my life as I walk in the Spirit. Amen? Love is the evidence that grace is at work in my life. Love is the evidence that I'm a child of God. Love is the measure of a disciple. And you're like, Pastor Jack, that's a lot of words, isn't it? But let's take a look, and let's look at what 1 Corinthians 13:1 says. It says, if I speak in tongues of man and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I have gained nothing. What he's basically saying here is he's saying that it says it doesn't matter how gifted you are, how talented you are, what abilities that you have, how much money you have, how much knowledge you have, how much wisdom you have. It doesn't matter the influence you have, how many followers you have on social media, how good looking you are. He's saying it doesn't matter. If you do not have love, you have nothing. Why is that? It's because God is love. Amen? And so when Jesus invites you to become and be one of his disciples, do you know what he's really inviting you to? He's inviting you to be a disciple of love. And God's not just interested in love. He doesn't just like love. His very essence, his very nature is love, which means that everything that he says, every command that he gives, every invitation that he extends, every decision that he makes is made in love. And we don't understand sometimes what God's doing, do we? And I think that sometimes we don't understand what he's doing and how he's moving in our life. I think it's because we're not looking at the situation through a lens of love. We're trying to look at it from what we understand and what we know. And so it's important that we take and we look at it through a lens of love. And this is why you watch people as they age, and I'm getting up there too, so I'm not talking about you old people. But you know, when you look at people as they age, when you look at people as they age, they're either on one or two paths. So let's call this guy Joe. So you think about a guy named Joe, he's back in his 20s, and in his 20s, he's meaner than a snake. He's hateful, he's mean, he's ornery, but he gives his life to Christ, and everything changes. He begins to walk with God, and now he's 75 years old. And you look at Joe at 75 years old, and now he's all soft and lovable, and he sees a baby, and he goes, oh, you know, he's just so tender-hearted. And you're like, what happened to that dude? He used to be mean, you know? It's because he's been walking with the love for the last 55 years. Take his friend Billy. His friend Billy, let's talk about him for a minute. You see, Billy, same way. When he was in his 20s, he was mean like Joe. Went out and did all kinds of bad things and did all these things and just hateful and mean. And you look at him now at the age of 75 and he's still hateful and he's mean. And you think, how can a guy look that mad all the time? It's because he's been walking away from love for the last 55 years. And so it's two different paths. And so when we think about this, we have to understand that that love is the measure of a disciple. And so let's think about this. Do you remember John? He's one of Jesus' disciples. Do you know when we first met John, he was the same way. He was mean, and he was a fisherman, and he was just a mean guy. They even called him the son of thunder in the Bible. And so for the last 3 years, though, John has been he's been walking with Jesus for the last 3 years up until the moment that we're talking about in our story today. He's been walking with love for 3 years. And now, after that 3 years, he's full of love. They even call him now the apostle of love. And that's pretty amazing that you can go from such a mean guy, the son of thunder, to the apostle of love. But it's because of love that changed him. And so I want you to see what changed him. You know, when we talk about John, we have to realize that John, when he writes in the book of John and he mentions himself, he doesn't call himself John. He calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now see, that's powerful there, because you see, John, until he realized that he wasn't just a disciple that loved Jesus, when he got the knowledge and he felt it in here and he realized that he's the disciple who Jesus loves, that's when everything changes. That's when the change took place in him. When he went from I'm a disciple that loves Jesus to I'm a disciple that Jesus loves. Now he's receiving, you see. He's not giving, he's receiving love. And so it's important that we understand, we look at this. We see how John's not saying, you know, we think about it sometimes. We think that this is pretty arrogant of John to say, well, he's the favorite, basically. When you say, I'm the one whom Jesus loved, people look at that sometimes and they read it and they think, oh, John's saying he's the favorite. That's kind of arrogant. That's kind of full of pride. But that's not John. That's not his heart. When we read this, you can find that he's looking at this and he's saying, you know what? It's not about me. It's about him. You see, when he says, I'm the one whom Jesus loved, it's because he loved me. And so he's caught onto this revelation and it's changed him. It's set him free. It's allowed him to release all this anger and all that meanness inside of him. And he became the apostle of love. Matter of fact, he spent the rest of his life just talking and writing and living in love. And that's because he understood that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. We look at our story here in John chapter 13 and we find out that, we look in this chapter 13 and it's the Passover. And they're all up there and they're partaking of the Passover meal. And it says that John was reclining. The one whom Jesus loved was reclining next to Jesus. Some of the other translations, when you read them, they'll say that he had his head on Jesus's chest. So that means there's no distance between him and Jesus. There's no distance there. It's because he understood how much Jesus loved him. And so I ask you this question this morning. Are you the disciple who loves Jesus? Or are you a disciple whom Jesus loves? Do you spend your life trying to love God, or do you spend your life allowing God to love you? These are some pretty heavy questions I'm trying to ask you this morning. Because that's when our change happens in our life, just like John. When we realize that we don't have to spend our time trying to love God, we need to allow him to love us. And that's when the change can take care of us. It's the love of God that frees us from our addictions. It's the love of God that frees us from sin and from struggles and from anxiety and shame and condemnation. That's what it means to live a Jesus-focused life. If you're not the disciple who loves Jesus, but you're the disciple that loves Jesus. You're the disciple whom Jesus loves. We have to remember that we love him because he loved us first. You see, we can only love him because he loved us first. In other words, we had to receive God's love before we had any love to give. Amen? It's the love of God that changes us and creates love within inside of us to give that to the people that are around us. Amen? I'm trying to cut through some of the stuff because I am way over time here. Let's take a look real quick at 1 Corinthians 13:4. It defines what love is. Okay? Well, first, let me back up. I just feel like I really need to say this. When we think about this concept of a disciple whom Jesus loved, I think we struggle with that a little bit. We struggle with that. We think to ourselves, why does he get to be prideful and arrogant? But you know what we do as a church sometimes? We go the opposite way. We do self-condemnation. And for some reason, we've bought into this theology that it's really good to have self-condemnation. You know, we look at each other and we say, oh, brother, I'm just a brother saved by grace. You know, I'm just a sinner trying to do my best. And, you know, we think that that's really holy. We think that that's humble. But you know what humility is? Humility is believing that you are who God says you are, regardless of how you feel. That's true humility. When you believe that you are who God says you are, regardless of how you feel, that's how you can be. That's humility. And humility says that I'm a disciple of Jesus' love. I might not feel it. I might not understand it. I might not think that I'm worthy of it. But if he says it, humility accepts it and declares that it's their identity. Amen? See, let's think about this. You always love other people the way God, you believe God loves you. You always love people the way you believe God loves you. Let me give you for instance. So if you want to know how you what you believe about God's love for you, then look how you love other people, okay? If you believe that if you only love people because they perform, then you believe that God only loves you because you perform. If you believe it because you think that God only loves you because you're worthy, then you're only going to love people who you think are worthy. Amen? And it's because you only believe that God's love for you is there because of something you did, and it's not. But if you love people when they're at their worst, then you believe that God loved you at your worst. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. That's the definition of love. So the question I want to ask you is have you been living this way? If this is love, and love is the measure of a disciple, then have you been living as a disciple? How do you know when you're loving? You know you're loving when you can be taken advantage of. That's how you know you're loving. Isn't that how Jesus loves you? He extends you and me so much grace and so much love that we can totally take advantage of it. Amen? Isn't that what the father did when the prodigal son came home after making some of the worst decisions of his life? The father sees him and he just automatically loves him. He gives him a new robe and sandals, and he gives him a banquet, and he loves him. That father could be totally taken advantage of. And that's the kind of love that sets people free. That's the kind of love that's so secure in the heart of God that we know that we're okay because we know that God is going to take care of us even if someone takes advantage of us. And that's because we know that God will take care of us. And that's love. We all know that it's easier said than done, too. Just a confession, straight up confession here. While I was preparing this message this week, my phone just kept going off, people needing things from me. And I was like, can't you just leave me alone? I'm trying to prepare a message on love, you know? I blew it. In the middle of making a message about love, I blew it. Because it's that easy. Because you know what? It's a journey of the heart. It's receiving his love for us that starts to release his love through us. We have to receive it before it can be released. I would ask you this morning, have you received his love? And when we do that, we can't help but love those around us. When we've received the love of God, you just can't help but love the people around you. Listen to me. The human heart was never designed to carry hate. The human heart was never designed to carry offenses. The human heart was never designed to carry stress and worry and depression and anxiety. Those are the things that destroy you. They'll eat you up from the inside out. The human heart was only made to live in love. And that's what a disciple does. And Jesus says, we will be known by our fruit, and the measure of a disciple is love. So my question to you is this. Is this the kind of fruit that's showing up in your life? This is pretty heavy, I know. I know. But I think it's important that we ask ourselves these questions today. Would you stand with me for just a moment? I just want to take a few moments, and I want to pray over you this morning. I really just want to pray a scripture over you. I want to pray Ephesians 3, 17 and 19. So if you would, bow your head and close your eyes. And Father, this morning, I pray that we would be rooted and established in love. I pray this, Lord, because love is the deepest root of all. It's the core of your kingdom, because God, you are love. And I pray that together we might have the power to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, Lord, I pray we all know it. I pray that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I pray he fills and overflows your life with love. Love is the measure of a disciple. And so with your eyes closed, let me ask you something this morning. What do you think God, the God of love, is saying to you right now? What is he asking you? I've asked you a lot of questions this morning, but what is God saying to you right now? I think for a lot of us, he's washing our lives with love. He's filling our hearts and our minds with love. I think he's reminding us that we are loved even in the midst of our failures and our struggles and our brokenness and our pain, that we don't have to self-exalt or self-condemn. We can just be humble and submit and surrender and be the disciple whom Jesus loves. God, I pray that you'd knock on the doors of our heart this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the way you love us. May we know and rely on the love that you have for us, God. Give us the courage and the faith to move forward in love this week and through the rest of our lives. Father, don't let us measure our lives by success or fame or fortune, but let it be measured by love. Help us all, Lord, to know that love that surpasses knowledge. And may Grace Point Church be known by our love in Jesus. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I want you to know that I love you. I love you so much. And I'm just thankful today that I had an opportunity to share my heart with you. I hope you have a great week. I hope whoever team you're rooting for tonight wins. Maybe they'll end up in a tie. I don't know how that'll work, but God bless you all. Have a good week. Happy Valentine's. If you're a visitor, we have a welcome center right back here. We would love to meet you, give you a gift. God bless you. Have a great, great week. Love you.